Before I speak, let me just make mention of a couple of announcements. Remember that next Sunday is a very, very special occasion for us. We gather all of our congregations together and celebrate, and the children will be making a special presentation in that service. The choir will be singing, and it will be followed by a luncheon and a good time of fellowship. And so that service begins at 10:30 next Sunday. And if you want to enjoy the luncheon afterwards, tickets are going to be for sale in the entryway here. And you need to pick those up today. So please don't forget. I'm sure that if you come next Sunday having forgotten to buy and you act really nice and beg, you will be allowed in. But it sure helps with planning if we know ahead of time, all right? So please pick up your tickets today. That would be greatly appreciated. The other announcement is just a reminder that following communion service later on this morning, we're going to be receiving a benevolent fund offering. Over the past year, we have expended that fund responding to various needs, and so we want to replenish that so over the coming months, as needs arise, we're able to help people out with that fund. So just keep that in mind for the next few months. On Communion Sunday, we're going to be taking up a special offering. I want to pray for our Sunday school program and for us, and then we will look into God's Word. So would you bow with me, please? Father God, I thank you for the reminders through song and through scripture reading today that you sent into our world your Son, who is the Prince of Peace. And I pray that as we continue to reflect upon that theme, that we will be encouraged, that our spirits will be lifted, and that we will leave this place feeling confident that you are with us and you are our present help in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. I pray for our young children that they would also quickly learn that you are good and you are faithful and that you are with them. Bless the teachers and bless the lesson that is presented this morning. I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. This I pray for the honor and glory of Jesus. And in his name I pray. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and in just a moment I'm going to read from there. Let me just mention my thanks to those of you who came yesterday and helped to decorate the church. Very much appreciate your willingness to do that, so thank you. So Luke chapter 2. As I look out upon this group, I realize that many of you are frequent flyers. You travel to Hong Kong or to Taiwan to visit family. You fly to Hawaii or other U.S. destinations for vacations. You travel to Poland on mission trips. I'm wondering, what is your least favorite flying experience, apart from maybe missing your plane or your connection? If you are like the majority of travelers, you'd probably say that encountering turbulence at 35 plus thousand feet in the air is probably the thing that you least enjoy. Turbulence steals away the sense of peace and calm, replacing it with anxiety or fear. Now, as people travel through life, whether that's at 35,000 feet in the air or with their feet firmly planted on the ground, there are many events, there are many encounters that steal away peace and replace it with anxiety. According to the Unisys Security Index, 2017 surveys of more than 13,000 people in 13 countries reveals that anxiety is at an all-time high. Are you a part of that statistic? Is anxiety in your life at an all-time high? Well, thankfully, into this anxiety-ridden world has come the Prince of Peace, offering to all people the antidote to fear and anxiety. We read about this in Luke chapter 2. And so if you have found Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now, our theme this second Sunday of Advent is peace, announced to us by the angel and offered to us by God through Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace happens to be mentioned or discussed at least 250 times in the Old Testament and 91 times in the New Testament, suggesting its importance. Now, what is peace? Peace is often understood to be the absence of external conflict. Now, while this is true, peace is more predominantly and significantly the personal, inner experience of contentment, harmony, completeness, tranquility, and wholeness. Now, the opportunity to experience tranquility and wholeness is especially offered to us in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others, and in our relationship with ourselves. And this morning, I want to very briefly unpack these three opportunities that are being offered to us. The opportunity to experience peace. First of all, consider that in our relationship with God, we can experience peace. St. Augustine, in his book Confessions, said about God, "You have made us toward yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Now, I know that we strive to find contentment and harmony and completeness and tranquility and wholeness in the offerings of the world. But these offerings, we quickly discover, they're inadequate, they're incomplete, they're transitory. Why is this? It is because we are unrighteous people, and we live in a sinful world, and we are alienated from God. And so the very purpose of Christmas was to send a Savior who would go to the cross on Easter and establish a way for us to be reconciled to God, to establish a way for us to experience peace with God. I'd like you to consider what Colossians chapter 1 has to say. So go forwards in your Bibles a little bit to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 15 to 22. Speaking about Christ, Paul says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. When we invite Jesus to forgive our sins, to become our Savior and friend, to be the leader of our life, we are reconciled to God, or we are restored to a correct relationship with him, and we are invited into the experience of his grace, and we are filled with peace. Now, Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5, the first two verses. He said, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." You see, when we are reconciled, when we are at peace with God, we have full access to his grace. God's grace is extended to us in a variety of ways. God's grace is shown to us in his continuing readiness to forgive our sins. God's grace is shown to us in his compassion for us. God's grace is shown in his favor and his provision and his healing. God's grace is shown in his kindness and his mercy and his generosity towards us. Now, what this world has to offer simply doesn't hold a candle to what God has to offer us when we are at peace with him. When we experience peace with God, we experience all of the grace that he extends to us. There's a second experience I want us to consider. First of all, in our relationship with God, we can experience peace. And second, in our relationship with others, we can experience peace. I'd like you to find Ephesians chapter 4, and I will read that passage in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. It seems to me that in our society today, we are wrestling with two extremes. On the one side, we are trying to appease everyone and offend no one. You know, make no value judgments, apologize, just live and let live. That's the one extreme. On the other side, we are trying to avoid anyone who is different or disparage anyone who disagrees. So build walls, cast aspersions, say whatever comes to mind without thought of consequences. May I suggest there is a better way than either of these two extremes, and that is, when we have peace with God, we can experience peace with others. And experiencing peace with others means avoiding the building or the erecting of barriers and creating anxiety. Having peace with others means respecting and serving others, and in points of disagreement, being able to disagree respectfully. Now look at what Ephesians has to say. Chapter 4, starting at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In addition to this passage, we need to hear Romans 12, verse 18, which says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Paul says, finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. When we have peace with God and strive to live in peace, then love and peace will flow into us and through us to others. As Christians, we can and indeed we must live out the prayer of Saint Francis, the prayer which many of you will be acquainted with. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Think for a moment of any person who is different from you or causes you to become unsettled or fearful or anxious. And as you think of that person, pray, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. In our relationship with God, we can experience peace. In our relationship with others, we can experience peace. Finally, in our relationship with ourselves, we can experience peace. Find Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. In these exhortations, Paul emphasizes our relationship with God. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is near. Present your requests to God. In verse 6, he says, not to be anxious about anything. In verse 7, he indicates that the peace of God transcends all understanding, meaning that it is beyond our wildest imaginations, our wildest dreams, and this peace is absolutely unique. And why is it unique? It is unique because it comes from God. It is produced by God, and it is completely isolated from, or immune from, or independent of our personal experiences or circumstances at any given moment in time. This unencumbered, unique peace, Paul says, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This unencumbered, this unique peace, according to verse 9, will be with us. Because of our personal relationship and friendship with Jesus, the one we especially remember and celebrate this Christmas, we have, as followers of Jesus, we have as Christians both the God of peace and the peace of God in our lives. And when the God of peace and the peace of God permeate our lives, there is, as it were, no room in the Bethlehem Inn for fear or anxiety. Fanny Crosby, she was 6 weeks old when she experienced a minor eye inflammation. And the medical attention she received at that time was extremely careless, leaving her totally and permanently blind. Now, in spite of her disability, Fanny Crosby wrote more than 8,000 songs in her 88 years of life. And you will know many of these songs. Well, not many, 88. You'll know some of them, not all 8,000. But you know, To God Be the Glory, Near the Cross, Draw Me Nearer, Blessed Assurance, written by Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby did not become bitter over her circumstances in life. She experienced peace with God, and this resulted in the peace of God that transcends all understanding. She experienced peace within herself, and that peace was not dependent upon nor disturbed by the personal experiences or circumstances of her life. Now, one of the very first poems she wrote says simply, "Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be." When you have peace with God and when you have the peace of God, that's what you can say. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. Now, when Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he told them that they could experience peace, he was writing to the residents of a military town. Soldiers watched over the city of Philippi, and they kept guard. And so when Paul said that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the residents quickly pictured what he was saying. In life, you may be attacked. You may encounter an enemy. You may face a battle. You may run into people or experiences that will try to steal away your peace and leave behind anxiety or fear. But take heart. You are under guard. You are under protection. If you are a Christian, the God of peace and the peace of God will guard you so that you can experience contentment, harmony, completeness, tranquility, and wholeness. So that you can experience inner peace, a peace that transcends all understanding, a peace deep within yourself. Now, I want to return to my opening illustration about turbulence while flying. You should know that any anxiety or fear that you feel at that moment, 35,000 feet up in the air, that any fear or anxiety you feel when turbulence hits is quite unfounded. The experience may be uncomfortable, but it should not steal away your peace. Just as the turbulent, uncomfortable experiences at any point in your life should not steal away your peace. Just in August, in a Business Insider article titled, "Pilots Say Turbulence Feels Worse Than It Is," Patrick Smith, who is a commercial airline pilot, argues in the article that from the perspective of the pilot, turbulence is often a mere blip. This is what he writes in that article. "For all intents and purposes, a plane cannot be flipped upside down, thrown into a tailspin, or otherwise flung from the sky by even the mightiest gust or air pocket. Conditions might be annoying and uncomfortable, but the plane is not going to crash. Turbulence is an aggravating nuisance for everybody, including the crew, but it's also, for lack of a better term, normal. From a pilot's perspective, it is ordinarily seen as a convenience issue, not a safety issue. When a flight changes altitude in search of smoother conditions, this is by and large in the interest of comfort. The pilots aren't worried. about the wings falling off. They're trying to keep their customers relaxed and everybody's coffee where it belongs. In the worst of it, you probably imagine the pilots in a sweaty lather, the captain barking orders, hands tight on the wheel as the ship lists from one side to another. Nothing could be further from the truth. Later on, he concludes in the article, saying that while the passengers are fretting about the turbulence, the pilots are having a casual conversation about their morning orange juice. I believe that when you have the God of peace and the peace of God in your life, all the turbulence you face is a mere blip in God's grand design for your life. You do not need to fear or be anxious about being flipped upside down, thrown into a tailspin, or otherwise flung from the sky. You can experience contentment, harmony, completeness, tranquility, and wholeness in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others, and with yourself. This Advent season, and hopefully for the rest of your life, cherish the words, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace to men on whom His favor rests." May peace be upon you. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for these most awesome words and this tremendous reminder that because of the advent of Jesus, peace is now possible. I pray that each one of us would truly experience peace in our relationship with you, with others, and peace within ourselves. It's for that reason that Jesus came. Thank you. We want to move into a time of celebrating around Holy Communion. Let me encourage you, as you take the bread and as you take the cup, that you use this as an opportunity to simply respond to maybe one of the points of the message. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety within yourself, or you're struggling in a relationship with somebody else, or maybe you've become distant from God. Why not take this opportunity and invite peace to come into your life again so that you can leave this place celebrating your relationship with Him, with others, experiencing peace within yourself as well. Those who are helping to serve communion, would you please come to the front with me now? I'm going to invite you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and friend, to participate this morning. If you're still searching out that relationship, trying to understand who He is and have not yet met Him personally, just continue to reflect upon who He is and pass the plates by, and just allow those who are followers of Jesus to participate and take from the trays. I'm going to pass out the bread first, and once we've passed it around to everyone. Then we will offer up a prayer, and then we will eat together.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Lord Jesus Christ on this earth to live the perfect life that we fail to live, to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus, we thank you for the body that you've given to us, and you gave up your body so that we can be reconciled to you, to the Father, and to have peace. So we thank you for this bread, which serves as a reminder of us, of the body that you've given us. May we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And now we will pass the cup, and once the trays have been passed around, we will offer up a prayer and then drink together. Thank you.
Let's pray for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only begotten Son to the earth and save us. And you teach us, Lord, that if we eat your flesh and drink your blood, there's life in us, the life of Jesus. And in end days, you will raise us up. Lord, we thank you today for the cup, and we thank you for the blood shed on the cross. And your blood cleanses every day for our mind and our hearts so that we can be pure before you. And thank you. We pray in this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we sing the doxology and close our service, we do want to take a moment to receive a benevolent offering. And so if the ushers would simply pass the trays around, and then we will sing the doxology following that.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Invite you off into the side rooms where refreshments are waiting. And don't forget, if you haven't yet registered for lunch next week, please do so in the entryway before you leave today. Thank you, and God bless you.